episode 506 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's one wheel shy of a functional tricycle. In this episode, we talk about Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart and The Mandalorian Season 3. I'm Andrew Sale.
And I'm Lauren Rubin.
So put down those channel changers and put up those dukes, because it's time to go head-to-head in another episode.
This is not my job.
We like to kick off every episode by going around the table, which is where we talk about things that are new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. And I think it's probably important to start by saying we're one Patrick shy of our normal band, and that's okay.
True.
That is a planned thing. He is on a trip to cross the seas, apparently not South America. which I just figured out a few moments ago before we started everything. But Patrick is safe and sound in a rather beautiful resort. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. He sent us a picture. And if you were on the Twitch stream, then you also would have seen that picture of where he's staying. But alas, you aren't.
Yes.
He's fine. He's good. He will be back next week. But until then, it will just be Lauren and I at the helm. And I think you're in safe hands. We'll find out.
Yeah.
By the end. But I think we've been doing this long enough that we don't need him. We like him, but we don't need him.
Yeah.
So let's see how this goes. Lauren, why don't you
kick off?
We've
already gotten through like the roughest part where like, you know, that retort part. So we're good. Yeah. We're good now.
Yeah. Lauren has breathed a sigh of relief now that that piece is done. The second she realized that Patrick wasn't going to be here, she started panicking because of that one moment.
It's true.
why don't you kick us off on the around the table?
Yeah, you got it. So honestly, I feel really boring because like Patrick's in Portugal and I have just been doing a lot of work. So it's not very exciting. But I have been watching a few things in the background as usual. A new movie that I checked out this week when I needed a break very badly was Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
Oh, so good, right?
Wow, it's really good. I was really surprised how much I like this movie. Like around Oscar time, it got like a lot of buzz. So I was like curious to check it out. But like now it's on Peacock for free. And I was like, you know what? I just want to watch something fun and nice. And this was a perfect movie for that. It's really good. Like, I feel like this goes back. Like, I really liked the early Shrek movies, but they really fell off a cliff very quickly for me after the second one. I think those are both like so good. And the third one is not at all good. And I never even saw the other Puss in Boots movies, or if there were more than four Shrek movies, I'm not aware.
There were four Shrek movies?
I'm pretty sure there were four for sure. And then
I don't remember three.
Puss in Boots movie
all.
That came out before this one as well.
Okay. I have this running joke with Becca that Shrek is her favorite movie because she has like the box set of it, even though
yes.
I know that her dad owns it. But
I mean, it's okay because I love Shrek. I genuinely love the first two movies are great.
I didn't realize there was a fourth movie. And I'm not even sure
I'm
saw the third.
Sure.
So
I the fourth probably was like a direct to video situation.
Okay.
Probably.
They did like a holiday thing, didn't they? Like Shrek
probably.
The Halls or something like that. I think
this is the thing. I'm like, I'm sure there are more sequels that I'm not aware of. I stopped watching after the third one and
okay.
then I All tuned right. back in for this one.
Okay.
I don't feel like I missed anything in between. Like, I'm sure there's some references, but like I just tuned in on this one and was totally fine to keep going. It is like a kid's movie. I don't think that it's like the deepest storyline ever. Like, you can kind of predict a lot of what's going to happen before it actually happens. However, the animation of this movie is so freaking good that I'm like, I don't really need this story to be more than this because this is so cool to watch. Like,
it's next level good.
Yeah, I feel like they had a lot of anime inspiration, a lot of Into the Spider-Verse animation, and mm-hmm. they managed to blend it with the Shrek animation style really well, where they kind of like, once they get into a fight scene, they really change it a lot, and it just gets really cool. And like, all of the fight scenes were genuinely incredible in this silly movie. But like, I really, really liked this movie. I don't think it was better than the other like best picture animated movies that were nominated, but this is a really, really fun movie. And now that it's free, if you have Peacock, I totally recommend checking it out.
I do think that the styling of the film lent itself really well. I understand why it was nominated for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
It's outside of the norm for CG stuff. It's now the swing of that pendulum is a lot more stuff has this kind of unique. The more things that have this unique look, the less unique it is. But it's still on the like the upswing of that. Obviously, Into the Spider-Verse was kind of the mold point, the mold say. Breaker. But this one still feels like it's just on the cusp of that, and without feeling overplayed or outplayed. And what I like about it is it takes that style and kind of puts it on its head a little bit. So it's pretty in the character design and the animation.
I was going to say the character design is amazing. I really liked their spin on these other fairy tale characters that they introduced in this one. Like Goldilocks is really cool.
Yeah.
Like really cool. And then
it's better than the Shrek versions of these
characters. Yeah. I felt like this feels like a slightly different universe where things are a little more twisted, a little more like Grimm's fairy tales for real. But I think that was fun. Like, I think that's part of what made it interesting. And the cinematography of this movie is really clever. And like, I know it's animation, so that's kind of different, but I love it when animated movies use the fact that it's animated to be able to like have insane camera angles that you cannot do in real life and just like really outlandish things. And I think that they just have such creative like cinematography in this movie that like it's totally worth watching. I really, really liked this movie.
Yeah, I wonder have you seen Mario yet?
Not yet. No. Okay. I almost went yesterday.
Okay. I want to know what your thoughts are when you see Mario, the styling. So it definitely, Mario is a lot more like the traditional style, right? Like it's a bit more traditional style, but the versions of the characters, like the animation is so, it's different because it's so clean, but because it's so clean, it has these points of realism that are to it that I want to hear. It's different than what you would expect from like a DreamWorks type movie or even a Minions movie. And it's by Illumination, right? So it's the Minions people. But there's something unique about the style and I haven't been able to articulate it yet. So I'm waiting for more people who know how to speak that way. Several people that I know have seen it, but they don't articulate things in that way. And so I want someone else to see it and tell me what it is that's so unique about this or what's so special about the animation, because there is something. I just can't put my finger on it.
I absolutely will go see it. I just haven't had time yet. And like yesterday was the only day I had time. And I was like, I just want to do my own thing. I don't want to be on a schedule.
that makes total sense.
It was kind of a predictable winner, but I still like, I always enjoy this stuff. It's good. Good TV, you know. And then the Yellow Jackets mid-season break is here right now, so like if you have theories, please send them, talk to me, because this is an interesting season. I feel like they've kind of zigged and zagged in a lot of ways that I wasn't expecting. So if you have theories, send them to me, because I feel like I haven't gone like as deep as I did last season, and I'm kind of interested in going there. And then other than that, I've also watched the Bravo's new season of Ultimate Girls Trip. This was by far the worst season of it. Like, I really didn't like it very much. The only thing that was good about it is reminding us that Portia is the best housewife ever. Please bring her back to Atlanta. There's nothing else nice. Like, I just was really bored watching it, but I needed like background noise. So I'm like, great. Yeah, this works. But it was like just boring.
None of these words make sense, but I trust that you
enjoy them. I know. Yeah, just not. I think the other seasons were much more fun. They're kind of losing the ability to have like true all-star housewives because like it's just like people don't last as long on the show. So it's just kind of a weird concept. And I don't know. The next season sounds like even more of a mess. So I might be out on this one. But yeah, that is what it is. And other than that, I'm saving the Mando finale for my main topic. So we're going to just table that for now. And that's really it. I've been getting into Dimension 20 in the background as well. However, I'm going to save that for some time when I have it like a better master category where I can really talk about it.
I just was recently introduced to them, started following them on social media. So
I'm obsessed. Yeah, like I kind of got like an algorithm towards them after I talked about Vox Machina, and like it's like my favorite thing in the world right now.
It's I think I came to it through the game show. Is that what it's called?
Game Changer?
Game Changer. That's what it is. Yeah. Game Changers.
Oh my gosh. I've also been saving that to talk about because I'm obsessed.
Oh, well, you know, we've talked about that on the show before, right?
Oh, I did not know that you have.
We have. That's how I first learned about it. But anyway, Game Changers, because of what's his face that I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's the host for that one? Not the host. He's one of the regular contestants on that show.
Like Brendan Lee Mulligan is the main host for Dimension 20.
And he's like the DM, the host of Dimension 20. So that's why I think I got channeled, the algorithm started channeling me to that because I watched tons of Game Changer stuff on social media.
I've been working so much that I bought the like Dropout subscription so I can just watch this stuff in the background. And I really liked a lot of this stuff. So I have a lot to say, but I want to save it for when I have like a true master category that works.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. Andrew, tell us what you've been doing.
Yeah. So it's just been busy and weird. And it's been a crazy couple of weeks, but I will say, we haven't done this in 2 weeks. That's why.
I know. Like yeah. Oh yeah.
The health and whatever we called that thing, the health awareness health for the cure. Yeah. Whatever it is that we decided to call things.
Yeah.
That officially ended. And, as of the end of that, I think I'm down like just shy of 15 pounds, feel a heck of a lot better. Working my way, back down that deal. So that's been a lot of my time has been spent outside, getting the sun and getting, activity happening with my body, which has been nice. And it's been helping keep my head clear, for sure. But it definitely has increased my water intake. But then besides that, a couple of things. One is our friend Tenoshi Boy released this piece, and he's been teasing it for a little while. But he released this piece. I have not picked it up yet, but it's being put out by Galleries 1988. I'm going to show you guys if you're watching. This is the piece right here.
Oh,
how
yeah.
fun is this piece?
So you.
It is so me. It's Roger Rabbit and Jessica Rabbit in their home. Jessica's kind of popping around the corner with this piece of carrot cake. And then on the wall is just a wall of all of these different characters from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, including Benny the Cab, Mickey Mouse, Jessica, obviously front and center, Betty Boop. What's this guy's name? Buster Bunny, Bugs Bunny, Donald Duck, Woody Woodpecker, Droopy. What's this guy's name?
I think Droopy.
Is it Droopy?
I'm gonna zoom in.
Zooming in doesn't help me figure out remember his name.
Yeah.
But then you've got
oh,
Daffy Duck, Tweety.
The baby. Yeah. I don't know the baby's name.
Gosh, why can't I remember his name right now either? Anyway,
that might be a character just from Roger Rabbit, to be honest.
Oh, he
but
is.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's just from Roger Rabbit. And so is he. Obviously, this is Eddie Valance. The great Bob Hoskins. And Roger's just laying, reading a book. Is he smoking a cigarette? It looks like he's
I think so.
He's smoking a cigarette. All right, cool.
Yeah.
And he's got his carrot juice and everything. It's just a really cool,
it's really cute,
unique, fun little piece. And I want to have it. I have a whole wall of Roger Rabbit stuff, including an original from several originals, but an original from Tom Bancroft who did illustrate or who did animate
super cool.
Roger Rabbit. So I've got an original Roger Rabbit. So this piece would be fantastic. In conjunction with that, oh, I clicked off of it. Hang on. There's another piece that I want to talk about that is similar.
Jedi's pointing out in chat, Baby Herman is the name of the
baby. Herman.
And Droopy was the dog. And then this is also a re-release.
Yes, because the first run of it sold out. Also, in Who Framed Roger Rabbit world, our friend Ape Meets Girl, Kevin Wilson, released this piece a couple weeks ago, right like in between when we had shows. And so I didn't want this to go without being shown. But it's a Who Framed Roger Rabbit piece, and it is a ball. It's at the end of the film, at the climax of the film, where Roger and Jessica are hanging from the hook in the warehouse, the Acme warehouse. Mm-hmm. But this time it's a ton of the characters from Toontown are all in that kind of like a mess of a ball of all of that. And then they're all hanging over Dip and the Dip is kind of bubbling and glowing up onto the characters. And then you've got the weasels and you've got
the bad guy.
Yeah. And I can't remember his name at the moment. But you, And then you've got like the warehouse behind it with all these things. So this is a cool piece.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Beautiful piece. Here's the deal with the piece. Good. The glow is really good. So this piece was originally Ape Meets Girl and I were going to collaborate on this piece. A while back, and I say a while, I mean, it was like just post pandemic. Like,
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years. We started talking about it, and initially he was going to do the setting and the, any realistic elements, components, as well as the coloring. And I was going to do all of the animated characters. That was the original plan, but then life got crazy and busy. And, ultimately he messaged and was like, is it all right if I just do this piece?
Keep going. Yeah.
We had even already talked with Hero Complex and everything. We already had it all planned out, and it just, my life got too busy to be able to execute it. But contributing to this would not have made it any better. This thing is absolutely wonderful. So,
yeah, it turned out great.
Congratulations, Ape Meets Girl, Kevin. This piece is phenomenal. I believe this is a variant. I believe that there's a, has glow in the dark ink. Yeah.
Yeah, that just makes sense. I was wondering, like, because it just feels like that would be right.
it's wonderful. And I absolutely love how he captured Roger, like his his expression, everything about that is just amazing. And he did manage to get
all the characters in the background too. Like, it looks great.
Mickey really in there, good. Yosemite Sam. He got Droopy. There he is. Goofy, Daffy, Donald.
Yeah, like, lots of Looney Tunes.
It's pretty great. So I'm a huge fan of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So these two pieces, I felt like they needed to get a little extra love from me. And that leads us to the last thing I wanted to talk about. I am taking Cooper to California. So for his birthday in February, when he became a teenager, I told him that his gift was to go to California and be able to go to Super Nintendo World, because it opened on the day Super Nintendo World opened the day before his birthday. So he and I are going to do that. So I booked all those tickets. We're officially going at the end of June, beginning of July. And it's really exciting reading about all the stuff. And I'm going to give a whole replay of how everything goes and give a whole, my take on Super Nintendo World, but just reading about some of the things that they have and some of the things they offer, it's pretty phenomenal. So I'm really excited.
Really
to see
cool.
That. Yeah, if you're
I've
a
been
Mario
trying
fan.
To like just not look too close at anything I see online, you know, because I just want to like be surprised if I ever get to go.
Well, there's going to be one opening in Florida in 2025 in Epic Universe with an addition of like a Donkey Kong ride. Speaking of Donkey Kong, Lauren and I were speaking about this right before we went live.
I put it in the chat too.
But there is a so there will be a Donkey Kong expansion ride and also some talks of potentially a Zelda ride in Universal Studios Islands of Adventure.
I cannot wait for the new game to come out so soon.
Yeah, that's like 2 weeks, 2.5
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, like or less than like 3 weeks, maybe. I don't know. Very soon. Very.
It's
soon.
While I'm in New York, so it's sooner than 3 weeks, I think.
Okay,
So it's gonna be a good one. So anyway, that's my week. I didn't do a ton, but a lot of cool stuff came out that I wanted to showcase and talk about, really just share that I'm going to Universal Studios and I'm super excited about it. And Disneyland while we're there. Like I'm like Mariana, we're gonna hang
right
out
next
while
to
we're
each
there.
Other.
But yeah, Super Nintendo World. I'm really excited about it. Okay.
It's gonna be so cool.
That's gonna be it for our abbreviated Around the Table. Up next, let's talk about some master categories. Every week we talk about the dice we rolled the week before. Well, in this case, it's the dice we rolled yesterday. And it gives us
this
our categories.
Morning.
That was this morning. This is the longest day ever. Okay.
Pretty sure I texted you this morning.
I think you're right, but it feels
this
like
is why
yesterday.
I have a drink today.
It's been a long day. So we roll those dice. Those dice give us the categories. We pick our topics based on those categories, and then you get what we get. And so I'm going to kick things off because we are going to finish this episode with Lauren because there may be some spoilers that people want to dip out on. So my category that I got was games, and I got past games. And I'm going to do something different with it because it's a past game, but I am presently playing it. It's a game that's been out for a long time. In fact, this game was part of the launch of PS5, and it's the Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, game. And have you played any of the Ratchet and Clank series?
So I didn't play it, but I watched my brother play, like, I think the first two games. So I have a pretty, like, I know exactly what the game is about.
So it plays a little bit like, it's a platformer primarily, but it's like a,
it's a lot like Banjo-Kazooie.
It's a lot like Kazooie or, or Crash Bandicoot.
Those all remind me of each other.
There's lots of destruction, and I believe they're all. Wait, Banjo and Kazooie is not a.
It's Nintendo.
It's a Nintendo game, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the game is a smash and grab game. So you go around, mm-hmm. and there's lots of items in this particular case. In Crash Bandicoot, it's boxes. What is it in Banjo and Kazooie?
Like that you smash all the time?
Yeah. What are the things that you smash in Banjo and Kazooie?
Like enemies. I think there are boxes as well, but okay. Like, it's been a long time since I played. I remember you're like collecting puzzle pieces. It's been
in
a
Banjo.
Long time.
Okay. So in this one, you're collecting, you go around, you smash crates, you smash various like mechanical things that are around, but you're collecting bolts. Crash was a, or is a mechanic, and he's a creature called a Lombax, and in fact he's the last of that species, and he's a mechanic, and then this is the main storyline that happens in the very in the very first game, where you've got to go defeat the bad guy and you collect all these bolts to do different things, to upgrade your weapons. The cool thing about Ratchet and Clank is it's all about the weaponry. You collect all these different weapons that each do something completely different, and then you can build that weapon up with the bolts. You use those bolts to spend on upgrading your weapons. So this is the newest iteration of that game. I may have played all of the previous.
Is this like a remake or a new one that like came
it's
out?
Totally,
on PS5
this is a yeah, this is a sequel. Or a part of the series. It's more than a sequel.
It fits somewhere in the timeline.
It's somewhere in the timeline, but it's its own brand new game for PS5.
Oh, that's
awesome! And it takes the pressure sensitive triggers. It takes those into account. So this is one of a few games where it actually requires you to have a PS5 to play it. Some games you can play on PS4. This one doesn't play on PS4 because the pressure sensitivity triggers is required. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is it's a really fun, like, smash and grab game. That's a platformer where you move around, you have objectives, you do these different things. The primary storyline of this game is, there's this, what's called the Dimensionator. So Ratchet is this Lombax. He looks like a cat type creature. But his best friend is Clank, which is this tiny little round headed, big eyed robot. It honestly looks like the offspring of the Iron Giant. That's exactly how, I mean, that's exactly what it looks like. So Clank walks around and he goes on your back and he helps you do different things. Like when you jump, if you jump long distances, a helicopter will come out and he'll like go gadget copter kind of thing. And he'll help you travel and do these different things. So in this game, he builds Ratchet what's called the Dimensionator, and it's this weapon, but the bad guy steals it, and lo and behold, something goes awry and these dimensions start opening up. It feels a lot like what we're probably going to get with Across the Spider-Verse, but all these different dimensions open up and they end up getting sucked in and being traveling to these different things. Well, in this particular game, you are actually playing side by side with another Lombax, a female Lombax, and another robot that has a different name. And what you come to find out very early in the game, this is another dimensions version of Ratchet and Clank. And so you encounter other bad guys from previous games that are new dimensional versions of these other bad guys. And you're playing, it is a one person game, like a single player game, but you're playing two different storylines. So when you go to another dimension, sometimes you're Ratchet and sometimes you're this other Lombax. It's two stories intertwined, and as you go, there's inevitably going to be a point where they come together. But it's a super fun game. It's you can kind of shut your brain off a little bit. There's not a ton of like puzzle solving to do with it. You can just go and enjoy what you're doing. If you like smashing things and getting cool weapons and blowing up bad guys and things, like, it's really, really fun. The character design is beautiful. Like, I think you would absolutely love the character design. Lauren, the animation and the CG in the PS5 version is beautiful, seamless. Like, I don't get how they, I mean, you used to only get this level of detail and quality in the cinematics in video games. And now you're playing full games in that same level of detail and in that level of rendering. It's incredible.
Wow. I am looking at screenshots now from the game and it's kind of blowing my mind. This is like really nicely done. Like, it looks so good, especially like having memories of the old ones that are just like not bad graphics, but just like dated. Like, you know, like things have improved very rapidly since we were kids.
Oh yeah. It's next level for sure. Where they've gone with this. And it's not a small game. Like, it's quite large. Cooper beat it. And it took him the weekend to beat it, but he put some time in. He put some effort into it, and he's still not at 100% on it. So it's a pretty lofty game. Especially the way they lay it out. You seem like you're at the end and then you're not. And you're actually maybe not even halfway through the game at that point. When you think the end is. And so I would say if you have a PS5, pick it up. You probably already have it, if I have to guess, because like I said, it was one of the launch titles with PS5, and there was probably even a bundle that came with it. But if you haven't picked it up and you do like casual platformer, like smash and grab games, this is one of those. It's a storyline that you don't have to be deeply entrenched in. It's not like something you have to play for 4 hours to get any satisfaction out of. You can play a level, you can play a world. And it's much like Mario in that way. Now, it's a little bit more extensive than Mario, but it's essentially that, right? You can hop in, play for 30 minutes, and then hop out.
Platform game.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to do, you know, you get to have some fun along the way. So Ratchet and Clank, A Rift Apart, go pick that up if you have PS5. If you don't, go buy a PS5, because there are a lot of titles that you can only play on PS5, and I'm just getting started. What I've realized and what I've learned is PS5 games, the games that are unique to PS5 are like the story driven games. And the older that I've gotten, the more I've cared about story driven games. Like, I really enjoy unfolding a story and being a part of a story, as opposed to just like Xbox has some Xbox exclusives, but a lot of those are like multiplayer, like battle games. And there's a place for that. And I enjoy those sometimes, but I like ones that I can sit down by myself and play through a story. And if that's your mode, PS5 is where you want to be. Nintendo has a few of those, but just the advanced graphics and the speed and the way in which the PlayStation 5 loads, it's insanely fast. It's insanely optimized. It's a beautiful user interface, and I can't rave about it enough. But if you're a story-driven person, then PS5 is where you want to be. And I'm glad that that's the ecosystem that I'm in now. And I gave Cooper my Xbox. So, Lauren...
I'm done with Xbox now. I've decided.
I am, except I still pay for I still pay for Game Pass for Cooper. But one of these days I'm going to
play some games eventually, maybe. But like, now you have a PlayStation and a Switch, you're going to be busy for a while.
I have a PlayStation and a Switch. Yeah, I'm doing good. And we already pre-ordered Breath of the Wild 2. Well, what is it?
Hard, yeah, I haven't hard pre-ordered to the... it yet, but I need to, because I want it. I'm going to play it. Who are we kidding?
We actually did. So Nintendo did this thing where you could buy vouchers. You could buy two vouchers for $100. There were certain games that you could get those vouchers with. And one of them is Breath of the Wild. And what's good about that is games are now, Breath of the Wild is a $70 game.
They finally changed the price.
Yep. And so
it's been $60 for a very long time.
It's been $60 for a very long time.
And 64s were around.
And now they're moving up to $70. Like when I got the Hogwarts game, it was $70. So
I don't really feel like that's outrageous, because like, especially for a game like Breath of the Wild, which like I know that I played the first game for hundreds of hours, like it is worth the money.
Yeah, I know your personal feelings on the Hogwarts game, but I will say that the amount of time I've invested in that game, not only has it surpassed the $70 like value, it's actually, I think I've almost already gotten my $500 value out of buying the PlayStation so that I could play it. Like it's mm-hmm. between that game, we have Miles Morales now, which I haven't cracked into, but I've watched Cooper play. And then with Ratchet and Clank,
so I'm sure the second one's good.
It's the value is there in these games. They're putting a ton of energy into making these not just like a quick turnaround, like one and done game. There's a lot of reason to return to it. Even after finishing a game, going back and achieving some of like the achievements and the different quests and things like that allow you to
that cool stuff. Yeah.
Still get value out of the game even after completing the main storyline. So that's obviously in its favor. Okay, enough about games. Lauren, let's talk about some TV.
All right, so I got TV, and I'm very lucky because this week was the Mandalorian season 3 finale, and I thought it would be good to talk about the season as a whole since we haven't really dug too deep into it, I don't think. So this is going to be a full spoiler review of season 3, so if you have not caught up, beware. Spoilers
are
coming.
But can we do this? Let's do this. It's a spoiler alert for the season, but we're not going to spoil the finale until the end, and we'll give another clear indicator for that, because there's some people who have maybe watched the season but haven't seen the season finale yet. And so they can stick around for the first part of the conversation, and then we'll give another clear break that those people who want to leave.
I'm also going to caveat, though, that a lot of my thoughts about the season came together after seeing the season finale, but I think I can still avoid like what happens in the finale.
I think we should talk about that, because otherwise I think we will lose more people.
I think that's fair. Yeah. That's only been a week. So if you have not, we will wait to say anything about like the actual last episode. We're trying to talk about the season more as a whole.
Yeah. So if you've seen the season up till the finale, stick around.
Episodes 1 through 9.
Yeah. And if you've seen all of it, stick around for the whole thing. And if you don't care and you don't even want to watch the show, then just listen to what we talk about, or you can leave.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
it's really a dealer's choice.
Maybe we'll somehow get you on your page. But this is going to be like the one time where I have a lot of complaints about a show that I love.
That's
and
funny.
And I'm sad
that
Patrick isn't here to witness me being negative.
Don't worry. He still gets to edit the show. So he'll hear all of your feelings.
Awesome. Well, I will say, like, I didn't hate this season by any means. I just didn't like it nearly as much as seasons 1 or 2. So I feel a little like unsatisfied now that the season is over. Like, I just don't feel like this was the best version of this season that could have been. I will agree with like what Will is saying in the chat, that the finale was the best episodes of the season probably, but I don't think that it saved it for me. And I kept holding out hope that a lot of things would come together by the end of this season. And I will take back some defenses that I put up earlier this season. But
would you say that the finale gave you a new hope?
No,
that's a Star Wars reference.
Like, yes. But I was like, but like, not exactly. But yeah, I didn't hate the season. I think it has some really amazing like moments in every single episode. And like, while I was watching it every week, I had so much fun. But then I would sit and think about it a little bit afterwards, and it kind of just fell apart. And I don't feel like this season like fit great together. Like, I feel like it was a bit disjointed, and there are a lot of ideas that like, I understand why they were all brought up now, but I don't feel like in the end they were brought together in a way that satisfied those ideas or like felt really conclusive. So like, I think there are good things about this season for sure. It's not the worst thing, but like, I think that like the 2 episodes in Book of Boba Fett might be better than this season for me. It is like an overall thing.
The 2 episodes in Book of Boba Fett? What do you mean?
They're like the 2 Mando episodes that are like middle of Book of Boba Fett, you know?
Okay, so Mandalorian season 2.5.
Yeah, the Midi-Chlorian.
Oh, that's I hadn't heard that version of it.
I stole that from another podcast, but I think it's hilarious.
What was your biggest beef with the first half of this season?
What was your opinion of the season? Like, how did you feel about it? Because I know that part of my beef with it is that I like to kind of take this to the next level, and I will go deeper with the shows in between week to week, and like I get really sucked into that vortex easily. And so I feel like part of my problem is that this season just didn't feel as rich and like as deep as some of the things that they brought up in other seasons.
It felt to me, yeah, it was not the strongest season, but I don't think it was the worst season. I actually liked it better than season two. Yeah, that is truth. I liked it a little bit more than season two. It felt like there was a more cohesive story arc, like a beginning and end in this one, as opposed to flavor of the week. Now, there was definitely flavor of the week. There was still spaghetti Western style.
There were moments
style.
Of this for sure.
There were still moments of that. And maybe even those moments were like extreme and kind of weird and kind of off-putting. I will hearken to the Lizzo, Christopher Lloyd, Jack Black episode, which just felt totally off rails.
I mean, the Pershing episode now feels completely out of left field at this point, but yeah.
Which one's the Pershing episode?
The one that barely had Mando in it at all. They just like the one with like the doctor from the first two seasons.
Yeah. That's going to come back in another season.
We need to talk about that one a little more, but yeah.
Yeah. And we'll talk more in depth about that in the finale, I'm sure. Right, but now, it was good. Not my favorite. But I do like that the biggest strength for me is that it was kind of one cohesive story from beginning to end. And there were, there were beats of the weirdness as opposed to some other seasons. Like season two, I felt like was more flavor of the week.
Yes, I will agree with that. And I liked that the bigger season story of this whole Mandalore story, basically, you know, like and all the Mandalorian lore and all this stuff I found really interesting. But once we got to the end, I was like, I really wish we hadn't had those flavors of the week and had only focused on this, because there's so much more that I want to know. And that, like, I feel like they're shutting the door a bit on this story, because like Mando goes off on at the very end, like, you know, they don't leave the door open for this. And so I just feel like I have a lot more questions about this like Mandalore thing, like how they're going to make this all work, and like how, like, there's a bunch of finale specific moments where I'm just like, okay, so if this is true, then what about this? And what about this? And like, now are we not going to talk about this because you're going off on a different adventure? Like, I feel a little bit like unsatisfied within this story that they brought up as
I
well.
I think that there, some of the things they left, and by the way, I'm leaving this up on screen because
I
the
love
first
it.
Thing that is ever in the history of our podcast that someone in the community agrees with me. And it's Will saying,
I mean, I feel like you and I get split pretty even. Holy on like moly, agrees and disagrees.
I agree with Andrew, so I'm just leaving that there, just basking in the glow of it.
But
I will say that I think the areas that were like some of the loose ends were tied up by the end of this season. I think some of those will get picked back up in some of these larger projects. There's three films that are coming out that were released. Right, there's a pre-prequel one. What do you call it? It's like an origins, like a Jedi origin. It's
so far back.
No,
in
I
time.
Know.
Like,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
There's another one that's mid timeline. And then there's another one that's
specifically
future.
To deal with the TV shows though. Like that is going to be like the Boba Fett, Ahsoka,
Mandalorian
yeah. and Skeleton Crew culmination.
Right. So we're going to see, I think, some of those loose ends brought into, or some of those tied up loose ends from this story arc brought back into a larger piece for that film. And that's what they said. I mean, they said it's specifically there to tie all these things together.
So I do specifically think the Mandalore stuff might have just shut on the way that they set up the end of the season. But like, not that like these characters won't ever come back or we'll never see what happened there. But like, I don't feel like we're going to be involved in the day-to-day goings on of restoring Mandalore after this.
No. I agree. We won't.
Yeah, not at all.
What we'll get is we'll get an update on where everybody is and how everything.
Yeah, at some point, like, oh, I got to check in with my friends, just like he did on Navarro in this season.
Right.
So, like,
we'll see what has become of Mandalore for sure. But I do agree with you that things are kind of the ends are kind of tied up a little bit. Okay. Anything specific to the season prior to the finale? Anything specific to the season, like cameos, anything that you enjoyed?
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to talk about highlights because I don't want to sound like I just hated everything and that this wasn't fun for me, because like every week I was very excited to watch the show and enjoyed it while I was watching it for the first time. Number one best thing in the season, seeing Zeb in real life, and it looks so freaking cool. And like, just I can't wait to see more Rebel stuff. Like, that was just, and it's such a cool cameo. Like, they don't need to make a big deal about it. Like, if you care, it's right in front of you. If not, it's fine. It's so cool.
So I agree. I thought that was incredible. I had that. Did I have that spoiled for me? I think I had that spoiled for me. I think I saw it. And because, you know, they do the posters.
Someone gave me like a hint and I like was wondering if that's what they were getting at. So it wasn't like fully spoiled. I lost my mind, though.
It was fully spoiled for me. But so when he returns back to that cantina, right? Later in the season. Did you see Dave Filoni in the back?
Yeah.
Like, and it was like a really nice, and you only know that it's him because he's wearing his hat.
The hat, yes.
Yeah, the fedora.
Apparently he's in the background of the first shot, but he didn't have his hat on. So no one, you can't really tell that it's him because it's like, he's so like in the background and blurry. So without a hat, like there's something that noticeable, you cannot tell.
I want to take a second to step away from Mandalorian and then come back to it in terms of cameos. You don't watch Barry, do you?
I watched the first season, but I'm not recent with Barry.
So the final season just started last week, mm-hmm. And they released two episodes for the first day, and then the third episode came out yesterday, and there is like a mob boss guy, and it's Guillermo del Toro,
it's
him. It's like actually he has like a scar going down the side of his face, and his hair is all slicked back. And they call him Del Toro. That's what they call him.
Yes, that's so awesome.
So I was so happy. I'm like, that's Guillermo Del Toro. Like, what is?
I hope
what is
I
happening?
Would love that to happen for Guillermo Del Toro in every franchise possible.
It was phenomenal to see him in Barry. Felt really strange to me, but yes. it was fantastic. All right, anyway, back to Mandalorian.
I will say I loved the Jack Black and Lizzo cameo and Christopher Lloyd. I thought all of that was fun. Lizzo? That was such a shock to me. Like,
Lizzo was great, and the music when he walked into that room, there was a flute based music, and I wonder if that was actually Lizzo playing.
I did too. I was like, oh, are they gonna sing a song together? Please let them sing a song together.
Jack Black and Lizzo. I'm sure they did on set. I'm sure they did on set, and maybe that'll come out.
Which Tenacious D song were they singing?
It'll rival Peaches.
Dude.
I loved Jack Black. I loved Lizzo, and I love Christopher Lloyd as an actor, as a person.
I think that episode has a lot of problems, though.
It has a ton of problems, and part of those problems was honestly Christopher Lloyd's acting. It was rough.
He was also like named like Mr. McBad Guy, basically. Like, his name sounded so evil.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
I can't remember what it was, but it was like, I wonder who the bad guy is.
His Mr. Suspicious. But his acting was, Lizzo did a better job acting than he did, which is what's
crazy. He felt a little
wooden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like a Pinocchio before he became a real boy.
Yes. Another like absolutely amazing moment was the flashback where Grogu has to order 66 in the return of Ahmed Best as the Jedi that rescues him. Freaking brilliant.
That was wonderful. Cool. Yeah, so a nice full circle moment for him. It's similar to the Hayden Christensen moment when he came back for Obi-Wan. Because he got a lot of heat for the prequels, as did obviously Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks.
The
most hated
all,
character
maybe.
Of all Star Wars fandom. And he got a bit of a redemption and a nice homecoming. By saving what is arguably the most cherished character of Star Wars fandom, baby Yoda, right? Like, so
I just love it. It's also like apparently a character he invented like for a different Star Wars thing because he's been involved with Star Wars stuff for so long. And I just think that's like the coolest, best way to bring him back in and just like give him a big hug from the fandom, basically. Like,
yeah, I thought that was really wonderful.
And it worked really well. It didn't feel like distracting or like, oh, they're just throwing us a bone or
it didn't feel like pandering.
Cool cameo.
It felt like fan service done well.
Yeah, perfectly.
And And here's what's cool about that scene too. A lot of people got stuck in that, right? Like that became the highlight of that episode is, oh my gosh, it's Ahmed Best. And if you know, and you know, right, if you're in the know. But I loved and went, I've watched that episode twice. And going back, if you go and look at Grogu from Order 66 time, when that flashback happens, he's much younger looking. He's got smoother skin. He's got less embellishment or less, what's the word I'm looking for?
Where like you have wrinkles and like,
yeah, but
details.
Not wrinkles, like,
less
blemishes,
wear and tear.
Blemishes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's got less blemishes, all these things. And then when it cuts, when it brings it back to present day Grogu, you're starting to see him actually take on Yoda-like characteristics where like the wrinkles of his forehead are deepening and the pop marks and like the wispy, whiskery hair. Like he's starting to look more and more like Yoda as he ages. And so I'm really excited to see when this fast forwards again, inevitably when we see adult Grogu, which it's going to happen at some point. Like, we're already starting to see him maturing physically as well as, like, maturing in the Force and maturing as a character. Mm-hmm. And you see it there. You see the juxtaposition in that scene, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, this is a slight departure from the topic, but, like, talking about the new movies that are coming out, when people are kind of throwing out ideas on Twitter, like, after Star Wars Celebration about what would happen in this, like, Rey movie, someone put out there, like, Grogu can come meet Rey and like tell her about his dad. And I almost cried. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that might be where we see him again, honestly.
Yeah, like, but I get chills thinking about how cool that would be.
Yeah, me too. Genuinely the hair really on the back of my neck stands up thinking about that interaction. It's going to be, if that happens, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like when we saw Andrew Garfield walk through the portal and then.
yes.
It's going to be like that where everyone loses their mind in the theater. It's going to be like that in everyone's everyone's theater because they're just going to lose.
It's going to be so cool. I can't wait. But yeah, I think there were like lots of other cool moments. Some I think I don't want to say because they hit on things that happened in the finale. I love the reintroduction of the Anzelans, the little Babu Frick guys.
From
the new trilogy. They're such fun aliens. Like I love that they brought them back. They're cute. The bad baby.
Yeah. Like, No squeezy.
Like we're all going to want toys of them saying that immediately. I do already. Like in the whole IG-12 stuff. Very fun.
Yeah. IG-12. I don't love IG-12. And that's going to be
I don't either. I have mixed feelings about it, especially after they're like, hey, think about droids' rights, then walk around in the shell of your friend.
Yeah, walk around in the hollowed out corpse of your savior. This is
your babysitter.
This would be like us like crawling into Jesus' body and walking around going pew 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 inside of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Because he literally saved them by walking them through that barge and taking on the lava and all that stuff. And then he self-destruct himself. And then now he's walking around in his corpse. It's weird.
Yeah, I did think there's some weird levels of that. You think about it a little
strange. That actually takes me to one of my least favorite moments of this season, which is when they initially repower up IG-11 and you have that kind of horror movie moment where he crawls across the ground. I loved that. Because it felt like a classic horror movie, the way in which it was moving. But what I hated, capital H-A-T-E-D, was when the guy pushes over the statue, like the bust, and the bust falls over and smashes IG-11. And the Mandalorian says, and I kid you not, he says, "That's using your head." I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the level of writing that you have for this scene? That is garbage. Garbage. Like, lowest hanging fruit possible. I cannot believe that they did that.
I don't even know if I caught that, but I'm now going to have to
go back and watch it.
I know I'm going to.
You will lose all faith in Pedro Pascal, John Favreau, all of the people.
All the guys.
You'll just lose faith in all of them because you're like, come on, we are better than this, people. We are better than this.
Oh, this is so funny. I wonder if they like added that in post. Like,
I don't know. Whoever.
It's like the kind of joke you might add in.
Whoever.
I think like that
did.
Kind of. This kind of transitions into one of the things that I didn't like about the season. And I think this kind of also transitions to this larger category of conspiracy theories that I have about the season and why maybe it wasn't quite as good as it could have been. And that's it. Dave Filoni wasn't as involved with this season as he has been previously because he's working on Ahsoka, which, like, Ahsoka is his baby. So I'm not surprised that he's like, this is what I'm devoting my attention to. Yeah. I've probably had this story in my head for forever. This is what I am most excited about. And so Jon Favreau is kind of the brains behind this season. I think that the way his mind works is a little more movie oriented versus TV. And there's just a lot of stuff that they would bring up in one episode that never came up again, like Grogu getting that cool breastplate that is never mentioned again ever. Like, why did he need it in the first place?
I think it will be.
Yeah, I
think there's lots of little drops that will ultimately become, like, you realize we'll zoom out and we'll see a full bottle of water.
I really hope so, but that's like what I was thinking was going to happen within this season, and I just feel like there's a lot of things where I'm like, well, why did you bother to, like, make this such a big deal, but then not use it again? Like, another example is, like, when the New Republic guys, like, find the Beskar in Moff Gideon's ship. It's like, so he's clearly, like, flaming the Mandalorians, but they never brought that up again. It was never important again. The Dr. Pershing episode, which I defended very hard when it first came out, it is now like, what is even the point? We don't even know if that guy's dead or alive.
I think you may have missed something then. And we'll talk about it when we get to the finale. Especially with the Beskar thing, because I think you may have missed something.
I know what I think you're getting at, but I still, like, I felt like the whole point of that was like the New Republic is aware of this, like, Moff Gideon escaping and Beskar having something to do with it, but they never come back.
We'll circle back to that.
And so there's just, like, to me, like, certain things where I'm like, I felt like each episode works okay independently, but then when you're trying to put it together as one cohesive season, it doesn't work quite as well as it has in the past for me. Like, I just feel like the threads didn't stick as much. Like, also things were like, all of a sudden, like, Din is okay with droids and, like, was going through all this trouble to get IG-11, is okay with taking R5 instead, but then, like, in the Lizzo episode is, like, kicking droids again and acting like a droid racist. So it's weird.
It's weird. It's, yeah, there's some inconsistencies, but here's what I would say. I just listened to an interview with Jon Favreau today.
And I love him. I don't want to be mean, but
he's talking about how he told the story, the origin story of how he got to be working on The Mandalorian. It's his baby. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that he wrote.
Yes,
and
that's
he presented
true.
It to Catherine or Kathleen, mm-hmm. Kathleen
Kennedy,
right after the acquisition.
That's totally true.
Yeah. And he had the first four episodes written before they even hired him on. Like, he already had those mm-hmm. the episodes written. But he wants to be involved in he is the head writer of all of them because mm-hmm. he wants a consistent voice all the way through it. Some episodes have more intervention or more influence with Dave Filoni than others, but that is the through line of all of them. Even though we have different directors and different mm-hmm. directors take it different directions, which is, I mean, obviously it's in the name. Mm-hmm. But there is one through line all the way, and that's that Jon Favreau is involved in each and every one of them. And maybe it is because he thinks more cinematically than he...
And it's just a different feeling. Like, I don't think the season is bad. It's just not quite as good as the other ones, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it at the end. And there's other things, too, where, like, one of the things that I feel like they're playing with this season. Hopefully they're going to get better about it. But, like, I really want Grogu to be doing more. And they played with that at the last couple episodes and, like, episode 2. And those were my favorites where, like, he's starting to do stuff because he's a baby, but not really a baby because he's like 55 years old right now. And sometimes he's extremely capable and other times he's like plays dumb and eats snacks. So like him at least being able to say yes and no was like a huge step forward in my opinion. But like, I really want him to be doing more stuff, even if he can't speak or like isn't going to, like, I want him to be more autonomous, and like Mando is actively trying to teach him things and like make him more active. So I really hope that they stick with that in the next season and going forward in general.
Okay, let's shift now to the finale, right? So we've talked enough about the season. So if you've not seen the finale yet, then maybe now is a good time to tune out. And we'll see you next week with Patrick back in his piloting chair. But yeah, we'll say spoilers abound for the season finale. Lauren, take us into it.
I think what you were getting at before was that, like, the Moff Gideon's, like, troopers have Beskar armor already, and so they're the ones who freed him, which is fine, but still, like, for all the New Republic knows, seeing Beskar there, you're going to go ask the Mandalorians what was going on, but then they just didn't bring that back at all.
Well, I think that that happened so late in the season that the interactions, I believe that stuff will happen, but one thing that we've learned about the New Republic is it's all bureaucracy. And everything in a bureaucratic system like that is going to move so slowly. We also learned that the New Republic is flawed. The New Republic is flawed, and it's already been infiltrated by imperialistic First Order. Like this, we're already seeing the beginning rumblings of the First Order with Hux.
I love that, like, secret council meeting that they had, and, like, throwing out General Thrawn and not committing to it completely. That was very well done. Like, so cool.
Very, very, very cool. And I loved, so the guy that plays whatever Hux in that episode.
Yeah, like Hux's dad.
Yeah, it's Hux's dad, name. But it's his actual brother in real life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's his brother in real life. So that's, like, I love, there were so many cool things that they did with that. So just because they haven't explored it yet doesn't mean they won't. That might be a major plot point in the next one. You know what I mean?
I will also say, I don't think that, like, Moth Gideon and every single clone was defeated, because, like, it just feels like very natural that the next time they would see him, they have to fight the Force version of him, because they teased that in this. And I'm like, oh, so you're just going to throw out that he made Force-sensitive clones and we're never going to see that? Yeah, right.
My biggest issue with him when he comes out in that Darth Vader-esque suit is
another thing.
He's very mechanical. Like, you hear, like, hydraulic, like,
okay,
and, like,
yeah, because I think he's like, okay, so this is reading between the lines, and not, and I don't think that they did a good job explaining this, but I think, like, his suit is enhanced with, like, robotics, because, like, how else could he, like, crush Bo's hand to, like, smash the Darksaber and stuff? Like, I just think that, like that's intentional, because he mentions in the other episode, like, I'm taking the best of everything, the Force from the Jedi, the something from the battle droids, and something from the clones. You know?
Well, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense, because it was very obvious to me that his suit was mechanical, because of the sound effects that they overlaid in with it.
Then also Darth Vader fanboy all the way.
And I don't love what they did with the Mandalorian style mask with, like, the horn. It was like Darth Maul meets Darth Vader.
Okay, so yes, I was like, you haven't watched the cartoons, but, like, having horns on your Mando helmet is an instant no-no for me. Like, I've been suspicious of the armor for the whole time because of that. But, like, that to me, like, him having the horns is straight up a Darth Maul, like, homage, because that's, like, when Darth Maul took over Mandalore, he made helmets that look like that. So that had to be connected. Apparently it's not connected with the armor for some reason, but, like, it also looks like a crown. Like, I understood what they were going for, but, like, I just was so mad at him. I was like, oh, he's such a good villain, because you just hate him so much. You're like, you took their stuff, you jerk. Like,
what's funny is I've been rewatching, or I just watched the last season of Better Call Saul, literally just finished it yesterday. Finished the full, like, the finale of the final season. And so he plays Fring?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
In that show. And he plays the smart,
kind of villain.
He plays such a good villain, whether he's being over the top or very steady paced. He plays such a good villain. Like, I don't want to cross him in real life, because he's done such a good job of me. Yeah, of me feeling like he's a scary dude. Him putting that helmet on made him look silly to me. He would have been better off not having a helmet. The suit was great and was fine.
They left the helmet off for a good chunk of the fight, to be honest.
I just wish I had never seen that, because it just looks silly.
I didn't think the design was great either, especially when you have the, like, super cool Praetorian guards coming back and they look
my gosh,
so cool.
I cheered when that happened. Yeah. I was so excited for that.
Well, I mean, it's really cool when, like, you first start off and, like, Gideon's like, I want three. And they're like, three is a lot, man. What are you getting into? And then you're like, three is fine. Don't give them any more.
It was really good. It was, and those troopers looked incredible.
Yeah, that fight, both fights with them, really awesome. Like, the Paz Vizsla fight, really, really cool. And then the one with, like, Mando and Grogu going back and forth, really great.
The aerial battle,
great, bring it back. Yeah,
the aerial battle was fantastic. The aerial battle was great. Let's talk about Grogu in his battle armor. Because we talked about it briefly.
Didn't last too long.
And I was happy about that.
No, because I think it's more important to show like his abilities. Like I'm saying, we need him to have some growth, and like he doesn't speak, so like him needing to do stuff on his own is important, I think.
But also, how did he get outside of that blast door at the end of this?
Cuts the hole and then they escape.
But prior to that, they couldn't get to where Moff Gideon was or the Mando was because that blast door was down. They went backwards to tunnel through and go back.
Oh, you're right.
How did Grogu get out there to be with?
That is a great question. That is a great question.
Becca asked that while we were watching. She's like, how did he get out there? And I was like, no. Wait. How did he get out there? They don't explain it. He's just there.
The force, I guess. I don't know.
He's force pushing himself through doorways? Like, I don't.
It also would have made more sense if it was just him not in the IG suit getting through. Because, like, he could have gone through a vent or something that was too small. And that
he could have jumped really high and gone through something. But no, but he's in the IG suit.
How did he get through there? Yeah.
Which is the least.
Maybe he did the droid thing where he like hacked a door and got through, but we just didn't see that for some reason. I'm stretching the truth.
Yeah, that's.
I'm stretching as far as possible.
Yeah, to give credit to it. I think it was just an oversight. Like they need them to battle together, but in the last scene of the episode before, they needed it to look like Mando's on his own. Okay, there we are.
I also loved the hallway fight. In this last episode, that was one of the coolest things ever. It was those like doors from Phantom Menace, where they were like shutting off in the order, and then he's just like waiting to like waste them individually. So freaking cool.
It was
great.
It was so great.
That was also one of those moments where I'm like, good job using the volume to its greatest potential. This is amazing.
It was really, really well done. I liked that part a lot. It definitely seemed like the graphics budget for the visual effects budget for this episode was probably four times that of what the rest of the series was because they did a ton of visual effects
so
in this one.
Much lots of spaceships lots of stuff
lots of battles, explosions. Okay.
Yeah, so. I do think the finale was the best of the season, however I don't feel like it came together in the most satisfying way. Even stuff where like we never saw the Mythosaur really come back. Like that was kind of, that felt very disappointing.
That's why I think we're going to see this come again, because the Mythosaur is going to be a thing that comes back. And I thought it was going to happen in the finale.
I did too.
As a way of like
so many. Yeah. Like
as a way of like being like the culmination, right? Like all hope is lost except out of nowhere, this Mythosaur comes. Right. So that Mythosaur is not going to be a throwaway. There's going to be something about it because it got us to a place. I think there will be we're still going to have more Mandalorian seasons, and we have this other movie that's going to bring tie all of these things together. I think the Mythosaur is going to come back for some apex moment.
I like that. At least for now, like to me, like I really like Bo-Katan and like was rooting for her this season. I thought she was going to be the main villain all along, so I was really concerned. But like I like that maybe like this was a thing for her, that like I like that interpretation. Like, you know, she was the one who was supposed to see it, and like that's the only person who needs to see it. Because like they're not going to be able to break away from tradition completely. And like she did, like the Darksaber's broken, so now you have this like other symbol that they need, you know, to like believe in her or whatever, like, you know, help the superstitious people figure it out or whatever. But yeah, I don't know, like with both of them not like totally satisfied, it felt a little weird because so much of the story was about Bo. Like I felt like her story needed just a little more tagged on to like make it feel complete for the season.
Yeah, I thought we got more of Bo than I actually cared for. But I know you like Bo-Katan as a character. Like,
no,
I,
but
I
it's okay. Like,
I don't have as much vest. I haven't seen all of the animated shows where you get to know Bo-Katan, right? So
yeah,
I'm not
also stuck where like the Darksaber feels like such a like afterthought of this whole season. Like the first time Bo gets the Darksaber in the animated show, like, it made me cry. And the way that Axe just, like, handed it to her kind of unceremoniously, I was like, oh, man, or Din did. I was like, yeah. With that fight, I was like, this is kind of a bummer. And, like, so, this should be a way bigger deal.
So speaking of Din, we got Din Grogu by the end of this episode. He's officially a Mandalorian apprentice. He's no longer, and he's officially been adopted by Din Djarin, so our Mandalorian.
I was totally
now
expecting him to say this is the way by the end of the season. I was definitely expecting
Grogu.
Yeah,
I was hoping we were going to get some. I was hoping we were going to get some actual spoken language from him as well. But they got to save something for season four.
I am okay with the fact, like, if Grogu never speaks, that is fine. You know, like, maybe that's going to be, like, a thing about his character. I always think this is interesting because I'm like, will he talk like Yoda? Like, that's, like, fascinating to me.
Yeah. Is that nature or nurture? Is that nature or nurture? That's what we'll find out, right? Because he's not been around anybody else who speaks like that.
Yes, exactly.
So I guess we'll have to.
I don't know. Like, why does Yoda
do it? That's clearly a conversation that's being, talked about behind the scenes, right? Clearly they're saying, when he talks, how is he going to talk? Is he going to talk like Yoda? And there is a debate happening behind the scenes. There has to be people on one side and people on the other side. Yeah.
And I don't have a strong opinion either way. I'm just dying to know.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, me either. I think I have a strong enough case for why he wouldn't talk like that. I would think that language is more nurture versus nature, because it doesn't matter what your heritage is. Who you grow up around is how you learn to speak, because you hear it audibly. And then that's what, so it would make sense to me that he doesn't talk like Yoda. Yaddle doesn't talk at all. We don't ever hear Yaddle talk.
I think she did have her talk in Tales of the Jedi. And now I, like, honestly don't remember if she spoke like Yoda or not. And
never saw Tales of the Jedi.
Because I've only seen it just once recently.
But in the films, Yaddle, which is a different one of these species, whatever this is. We don't hear Tales of the Jedi now and
pay attention. I think, like, one other conspiracy theory that I want to bring up before we move on also about this season is that, like, obviously at the end of last season, we left off where, like, baby Yoda or Grogu was not with Din, and we saw their reunion in Book of Boba Fett, and I will not rehash how I feel about that. Right. But I do think that, like, I've heard a rumor that, like, originally this season was planned where Grogu wouldn't be in it. And I think that does make a lot of sense when you think about it in hindsight, where, like, this is what Mando would do when Grogu's not around. And, like, then you would have all this time to, like, develop these other Mando characters. You're not worried about Grogu. Like, I do see where that could have made a lot of sense in this season.
Yeah, but I think they made the right move in having him in this season. Because I think we progressed his story enough in this where we got some origin and some future setup where I think it was necessary. I think they also recognized how destructive it may be for them financially to have a whole season of Mandalorian without Grogu in it.
And I don't know how they would have added it into this storyline of him not coming in beforehand and somehow trying to ham fist it into the middle would not work at all.
Yeah.
So I think maybe this was the best compromise. However, I can, like, see the breadcrumbs of this path, sort of, you know what I mean?
I can too. Yeah. Saying it that way, like, I totally can. Like, yeah, that makes total sense. But I do see the stuff they did with Grogu in this.
Yeah, season. I think in the end it was probably a good choice. It just bothers me that you had your main characters reunite in another show, but that is for another day. And I also feel like Rangers of the New Republic, since it was canceled, some of the, like, ideas that they had, they just shoved into this show, whether or not it worked. And I don't know how I feel about that in the end. Because, like, if they do more of it, I'd be okay with it. But, like, you cannot throw out Zeb and never bring him back. Like,
yeah, we've seen... there's way more Star Wars to talk about that's been set up, and you did a lot of it on that talk that you did of the rundown of Celebration. So as these things start to come out in the coming months and years, we will have more Mandalorian conversation.
Yeah, we have Visions coming up in, like, just a week, and then we get and then I think we actually have, like, a real break from Star Wars for a little while.
Yeah. And that's okay.
I know. And then we get Ahsoka, which will be when Ahsoka comes back,
everyone will be excited, and it'll be
good.
Oh my
gosh, I cannot wait.
All right. So on that note, Lauren, we should roll dice.
Before we get out of this episode.
Can we get somebody in the chat to roll for Patrick?
All right, got an 11 and a 3.
Okay, so your 11 is what?
Books, yay!
And a 3, so future books. All right, I rolled a 14.
Design.
Design, and I rolled a 2. So present design.
Present All right, Jedi design. Is going to roll for Patrick. It's a 7.
And a 2. So he's talking about present.
Fashion.
Fashion presents. All right. We're going to hear all about what the people of Portugal are wearing today.
Yes. <That's>, hopefully I'll do it in Portuguese. We'll all really learn something.
In Portuguese. You know what? I know some Portuguese. Yes.
Oh, really? I don't know any yet.
Obrigado means thank you. And that's all I remember. when I went to Brazil for the Olympics, they speak Portuguese. Yeah, that's their main.
I used Google Translate everywhere there. I was like,
yeah, what does this say? It's funny. Okay, that's going to be it for this show. If you want to find show notes and links to the stuff, the handful of things we talked about in this episode, head on over to mofone.network. While you're there, you can find a whole bunch of other episodes as well from all the years of doing this. We've been doing this 506 times, plus all the other episodes that aren't these weekly, normal, like, pop culture ones. Like, we've got over 700 episodes at this point. It's crazy. So you can check us out over at mofone.network. While you're there, click on the little Slack icon and join the Slack conversation. Our community is talking day and night all the time. It's from people all over the world, and you can be a part of that. So if you're only listening to this, what are you doing? You're missing out on when the conversation picks up. As soon as this ends, the conversation picks back up and we keep going until next week. If you're only watching this live, like, hey, that's great. We're so glad you're here, but there's still more conversation happening behind the scenes, and that happens right on Slack. Catch us here on twitch.tv/mofonepodcast or at youtube.com/mofonepodcast. We're there live every week. And not just this episode, but other episodes as well. There's some YouTube exclusive content. We had something go live today from one of our network members, Will, talking about the five best books for designers. And he has a real catchy opening. If you haven't seen it, Lauren, I don't know if you saw it.
I did. It was great.
it goes a little something like this. Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. It was pretty fantastic.
Is that your new copy of Oz, by the way?
This is my new copy of Oz. Yeah. Yes. I was actually going to talk about it in the around the table, but got distracted by something else. I'll talk about this next week because it's incredible.
Yeah, we started playing Oz again. It's super fun.
Yeah. It's probably best to talk about it when all three of us are together anyway.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So we'll do that next week. And then finally, subscribe, rate, and review the show everywhere where podcasts are sold. When you do, we'll read it on air. We want to hear what you have to say. Give us a rating of 5, and we'll give you a high five, digital high five, each of us. So that's 15. That's 15 for 5. That's a straight...
High 15.
Yeah, high 15. That's a straight bargain, if you ask me. All profit, all upside. Hit that up over there. It doesn't take very much time, doesn't cost you any money. If you want us to throw a couple dollars our way, subscribe here on Twitch, because then you can use your Bezos dollars. If you have Amazon Prime, and let's be honest, who doesn't, you can use your Prime subscription to throw to one show on Twitch every month, and that show can be us, and we appreciate it if you've already done that. So I think that's all. I think I'm done pitching things. For now, we'll probably just get out of this episode. Lauren, it's been fun going tandem with you on this one. And
Clan of Two, baby.
Yeah, baby. We're going to get out of this episode for now, though. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
Peace out.
Adios.